Today is Saturday, January 5th, 2019, and this...
The devil with people! I'm not concerned with people. I'm concerned with this machine. It's inhuman. The way it lets you win a little and then takes it all back. It teases you. It holds out promises and wheedles you. It sucks you in and then...
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 675.
Las Vegas, Nevada! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
I forgot how we started the show. Welcome to 500 by Midnight. A little rusty.
Mm-hmm.
We took last week off. Welcome to 2019. It's our first show of the new year. And our 14th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
Happy 14th anniversary, 500 by Midnight.
Yay.
And that is the extent of our 14th anniversary celebration. I really like that opening clip. If I do say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen the Vegas episode of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, it's great.
It's called The Fever. It is so good. That show is from 1960. It's almost 60 years old, and it still holds true today.
Mm-hmm.
Having a slot machine steal your soul.
Yep. And your money.
Yeah,
but mostly your soul.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, find it. I'm sure you can probably find it online, but
Franklin.
It's so good. Alrighty. Before we jump into some news, we've got a bunch of news. We're going to do our Vegas wishes next week. I decided to hold off on that. We're going to get caught up on, well, not quite caught up. We're going to listen to a bunch of calls this week. We're going to go through some news. And then next week we'll do our Vegas wishes and it will be very festive. Have you started working on yours?
I have, but I don't have them to the state that I want to have them. But at the same time, I never have them quite ready. So
I know. I haven't done that yet, but I will in the next few days. And it will be very exciting to see. I don't remember what mine were last year, so we get to find out how we did last year, if any of our Vegas wishes came true.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. All right, before we jump into some news, as always, this podcast is listener-supported by our fine Patreon patrons, including such folks as Brian Dancer, Rodney Krasinger, Pam, Steve White, Kevin Nagel, and Chris Frogue. That's what I'm trying this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mispronounced his name more than anyone else's in the history of the show.
I think so, too.
Jeremy Taylor, Dane Wosefa. Help me out with this. I know you always help me out with this one. Wosahowski?
Sure.
Okay, we'll try that. Sorry, Dane. That's a lot. There's a lot of vowels in that name. I mean, a lot of consonants in that name.
I'm sure he's never heard that before.
Terry Corbin and Dalen Davies. Thanks to these
and all
of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate it. If you want to support the show on a monthly basis, you get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. Visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. What else? Oh, before we jump into news, Thursday is going to be the annual State of the City address that the mayor of Las Vegas does.
Yep.
The last few years. I, along with my friend Misnomer, have done some live tweeting during that, which is always fun.
It's a source of amusement to you and a source of great consternation to the city staff.
And some of the hotels aren't too thrilled about it either. was it Downtown Grand or Plaza? One of them, I think it was Downtown Grand, retweeted something that I had posted, not realizing it was a complete insult. Oh no, the city. The city retweeted it, I think, and then realized... Oops, and unretweeted it. And then last year, I think it was that the city, whoever does the city account, responded to the first one, said, that's not true.
Did you reply, well, why don't you retweet it like last year and
we'll find out? We'll see if I get any action on any of my tweets this year, but I'm looking forward to that. And then following that, the big announcement of the 18 Fremont name. So that will be coming up on Thursday as well, and we also will have plenty to talk about next week.
Yep.
As everyone goes, oh, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what we do as Vegas nerds. We pick apart everything. But it'll be fun to find out any details that Derek Stevens decides to announce regarding that property. I don't know if there's going to be more in addition to the name or if that's it, but look forward to hearing it. I'm sure, I'm hoping, and I would think that it would be live streamed somewhere. So I would imagine on Twitter someone will be live streaming it. Alrighty, so that's coming up. We already have a lot on the agenda for next week.
Wow.
Let's just scrap this show and just wait till next week.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, some news.
There's quite a few news items this week, too.
I know. Well, we've been off for a couple weeks, so that's part of it, too. But, let's start with some entertainment stuff. The biggest news this week is that Britney Spears canceled her residency. She, of course, is returning to Las Vegas after a break. She previously was at Planet Hollywood and a few months ago announced a new residency at Park Theater. She's going to be doing, I don't know, 30 shows or something like that. And was supposed to open in February, but she has announced that her father is very, very ill. He apparently had some health issues in the last couple months, went to the hospital, almost didn't make it. Fortunately, he did. And he has a long road to recovery, and she's decided she wants to put her career on hold to be with her family and to focus on that now. So you can't really blame her for that.
No.
I know that there were some reports that there were not great ticket sales for her show. Whether or not that has any secondary role in this, I don't know. There hasn't really been a lot in terms of anyone saying this is going to be rescheduled. I've seen a couple things where they say the residency is on hold. Others have said it's canceled. They are refunding tickets, but with that's kind of the nature of a Vegas show where people travel and stuff that you, it would be weird. You can't really just reschedule and say, hey, come in May instead.
Right.
So time will tell whether or not it is indeed rescheduled after she decides to jump back into things or what. The thing I'm curious about now is this opens up a bunch of dates at Park Theater, and that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to try to fill those with touring acts? Are they going to try to get additional shows out of Lady Gaga and Aerosmith? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those shows have been selling so well, it wouldn't surprise me if they went to them and say, hey, how'd you like to do some more shows for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of money in it for everybody. I pulled up out of curiosity a couple Aerosmith shows, and yeah, they're virtually sold out. So maybe we'll see them adding some. I don't know. Time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully everything will, you know, obviously you hate to hear that somebody's experiencing poor health, and you certainly can't blame her for wanting to deal with that. So
right.
That is the update on Britney. In a little bit happier news, over at Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton is moving his show to Cleopatra's Barge. He, of course, has been performing at Bally's for a while in the Windows showroom, and this, I think, is the perfect venue for Wayne. It's a classic Las Vegas thing. It's been there for, like Wayne.
Like Wayne, it's been around.
Been there for a long time.
Or been there for a while. Been around sounds.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah,
he's been around.
I'm sure Wayne's been around.
So this is a good move. I'm happy to see this. The new show opens, well, it's the same show, but it's opening in the new location at Cleopatra's Barge on January 28th. And, well, I guess so this is, since it's an anniversary show, I have one clip from an old show to play. Longtime listeners of this show may remember way back in show number 144, we received a call from somebody purporting to be Wayne Newton to discuss his career plans. And I'm not sure if Cleopatra's Barge played into that, but I thought we'd give it a listen and listen to what he had to say.
Slow down some, cause you're making me run. Daddy, don't you walk so fast. Hello, y'all. Wayne Newton here. Giving you an update on my career plan since I've left here is to review. In 2004, I did my exclusive 5-year agreement at the Stardust in Las Vegas, Nevada. 2005, of course, I embarked on my exclusive 5-year agreement and appearance at Harrah's in Las Vegas, Nevada. 2008, February, I'll be getting my exclusive 5-year agreement and appearance at the Riviera in Las Vegas, Nevada. 2009 is an exciting year. I'll be at the Golden Nugget downtown replacing Defending the Caveman in Las Vegas, Nevada downtown, where my career began. And also, I'll be appearing in Branson Vacation with Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Shannon Doherty, and Corey Haim as the children, of course. 2010, where it all began, at the Fremont. That's another exclusive five-year appearance and agreement and arrangement and contract. At the Fremont, Sam Boyd's Fremont, Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, that's January 2010. September 2010, I'll be appearing at Fitzgerald's in the second floor showroom, currently occupied by Larry G. Jones. Of course, that's a 20-year contract. And I thank you all for your interest and your care.
Wow. I guess he didn't account for 2019. He was supposed to still be at Fitzgerald's, which no longer is a thing. That's one of my favorite calls. I still have no idea who that was. It's wonderful. All right, so there you go. You can go see that legend, Wayne Newton, over at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace beginning on January 28th. All the ticket details are on Caesar's website and I think Ticketmaster. All right, over at the Hard Rock, which is going to be transitioning in later in this year and in 2020 as well, to Virgin Hotels, they have announced that they want to lock up virgins. They want to lock up. They want to lock up all the virgins. And what better way to do it than to keep Magic Mike Live around? They want to lock up Magic Mike Live. They don't want that show to move while they're under construction. So the one thing
they want to lock it up. So will they be performing in cages?
I don't know. The one thing that's going to remain open during the shutdown of the Hard Rock that we discussed a couple weeks ago is the showroom, so that people can still come over there and see Magic Mike Live. That's kind of unusual to do that. I guess that the show must be making bank for them. The fact that they don't want to lose it that badly, that they would keep that one thing open. And this pretty much guarantees the show is going to be around for a couple of years. So if you have not yet seen Magic Mike Live, but have been meaning to, there you go. It will be at Virgin Hotels for a while.
When will you be seeing Magic Mike Live?
Oh, you know, I've got a pretty long list of shows. And we'll see.
Would you rather see Celine or Magic Mike Live?
Besides, go see. I have to think about that. My impulse is to say Celine.
But you know, about 10 minutes in, you're going to be twitchy.
I don't want to see either of them for different reasons.
I want to see both of them. But I don't have to see them with you.
That's a fine question that you pose, and I don't have an answer for it. if I had to choose, I guess I'd probably say Celine. But not by much. I don't know what that says about me. There is a new, since we're on the semi-naked men.
Speaking of semi-naked men.
Yeah, there's a new show at MGM's Brad Garrett Comedy Club opening on February 13th called The Naked Magicians.
Is it immersive?
Oh, I hope not. So as I've mentioned many times, I'm not a big fan of magic, and there's been an increasing trend of magic shows not just being magic shows. My theory is it's because their magic alone is just boring as fuck and it's all been done. So they always have to have a new shtick. Usually it's comedy magic. These guys do the comedy magic thing, but they also add in the fact that they are naked for much of the show. And they, through clever use of props and positioning on the stage and things, you don't get to see dickage, except for maybe like once or twice where they coyly flash the audience, based on the reviews that I read. So you can go see magic and, you know, they're not going to be pulling rabbits out of the hat. That's all I know.
or anywhere else.
I don't know. This is another show. Now, if you ask me if I'd rather see Magic Mike Live or Naked Magicians, I'd go see Magic Mike Live. No hesitation on that one. So it's two buff Australian guys, presumably dancers from Australian. What is that? Australian
Thunder from Down Under.
Thunder from Down Under. Just migrated to magic, doing a bunch of suggestive tricks.
When we were talking about this, though, you said that this was a good idea as far as distracting the audience, because you're either trying to look at it or trying to look away from it.
Yes.
And
yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with sleight of hand. You have to have something that throws them off from what they, you know, what the audience should be paying attention to, so that they can't see what the trick is. So, you know, having a dick nearby is probably going to...
going to distract a few people.
Might be a little distracting. I don't know.
Didn't they have something... Did the showgirls of magic, were they topless or were they...
That would... I don't know if they were topless or not. I forgot about that one. There's been so many shows that have come and gone. Where did the showgirls of magic play? I remember the name.
I don't know. I remember the name, but I don't remember where it played.
Yeah, I don't know if they were topless or not, but yeah. I will be happy to choose a card. Yeah, where does the card turn up when they do that whole shtick?
Oh.
Look, it's stuck to my ball sack.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a 10 p.m. show. Tickets are $65 to $105 plus fees and taxes from Ticketmaster. If anybody goes to the show, we would love a review. Let us know if the sighting of nude junk exceeded or did not exceed your expectations. I would say keep your expectations low. Based on, I read a review, it's performed in other cities. It's a touring thing, and I read something about it, and it said that there was like one trick at the end where... But then there was something about confetti shooting out of their dicks. I don't like the sounds of that at all.
No.
Because that's like some donkey show action, but with dudes, you know. If they shoot ping pong balls out of their dick, I might have to go just out of curiosity. I don't know. This has got bad news written all over it, but I think that would get more press. If there were a couple dudes touring the country from Australia shooting ping pong balls out of their Johnsons.
Did puppetry of the penis originate in Australia as well?
I don't know. Are you suggesting that they that Australians lead the world in
dick-related entertainment, possibly
cock-related theater, cock theatrics? I think we have a name of the show for this week.
I guess.
All right, that's happening at MGM Grand. Just when you think you've heard every possible show angle, along come some naked magicians. Now, what if they changed this show? I didn't expect to be talking about this for this long, but what if they had a dude and a woman and had both? Would it be more appealing to me then?
Boobs.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I'm always happy to look at boobs, but... Okay. No.
What?
I'm just thinking of the whole thing with... They always use playing cards. I'm thinking of hiding the playing cards and paper cuts and all kinds of things. And, let's just not.
Let's move on.
Let's move along. All right. On a more serious note, Wynn Las Vegas is suing Genting Gaming over the design of the under-construction Resorts World property across the strip from Wynn and Encore. So... If you've seen pictures of the under-construction Resorts World, you may have noticed that the glass color and the trim color running along the top and the bottom of the rows of windows looks strikingly like that used at Wynn and Encore. And apparently the folks at Wynn and Encore have taken note of that as well and said, you can't do that. Whether or not they can do that remains...
We've copyrighted that particular shade of brown and cream, darn it.
Well, so there are trademarks regarding the design of the Wynn buildings. I believe that glass color is excluded from that. So, but the curvature of the building, there's a few things that are involved. I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I have no idea whether or not this is legit. I know that they, as of right now, there's some similarities. Now, the one thing that I would say is very striking about the Wynn properties is the swoop at the top, how it angles up. These buildings do not have that. But they're very early along in construction. So I would imagine that when Genting Gaming responds to this lawsuit, they will probably have to provide that their defense would be, hey, once this is done, it's not going to look like that much like it, where there would be confusion over the buildings. So maybe we'll get some new renderings out of this as a result of this lawsuit.
Hey.
I mean, my theory is, yeah, it looks like it now, but when it's done, when they've got all the Chinese shit around it, they're going to have a bunch of lower buildings that have a bunch of, you know, Chinese design. The ends of the building and, like, between the buildings it's all red.
Some Asian-inspired architecture and characters and things like that.
So when it's all done, I don't know. I don't think you can really base it on something while it's under construction without having... There have been renderings, but they've been updated many times, so I don't know. I haven't seen the renderings with this style of glass. We'll see if there's any merit to this or not. Right now, the lawsuit is awaiting a response from Genting, and then I suppose the judge will decide if, you know, if there's a merit. I'm sure Genting will say, no, this isn't a valid lawsuit. Here's why we believe you should throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Time will tell. So that is happening. I always love when the resort companies get catty.
Yeah.
We need more of that. There was a time where the resort owners, you know, they all had respect for each other in a sense, but
Steve was really good at it.
Steve and Sheldon were always, well, Steve up until the end was, because, I mean,
in Bullock Hallway.
Yeah, his thing about Elon being an aborted project, mm-hmm. you know, that was very catty.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's it in Lawsuit City. A couple restaurant notes. We have spoken fondly of a taco joint downtown Las Vegas called Bomb Tacos on Carson, and unfortunately it closed.
Boo.
Boo. Yeah, now this location, they need to put something other than a restaurant in here.
Mm-hmm.
Certain locations of restaurant, you think of, like, if you live in a major city, maybe not even a major city, maybe if you live in, a medium city, there are certain spots where restaurants have come and gone repeatedly.
Yeah.
And once it gets the stink of failure on it, it's like nothing can survive there. I'm thinking of, like, here in Minneapolis, we had, what's the place you just ate?
Fema's. Which was delicious.
So that it's a really, really cool
space. Yeah, it used to be Goodfellows. It's got all this cool art deco.
But there's been a shuffle of restaurants. Like every 3 years, something new opens, mm-hmm. and then it lasts a year.
Yeah, so Goodfellows closed. They opened, I think it was Forum.
Welcome to Minneapolis Restaurant Watch.
Yeah. And that was delicious, but that went under. Yeah. And then Il Foro, it was an Italian restaurant, which was also delicious, but that also went under. Yeah. And now we've got Fema's. But I'm hoping he has enough name recognition. I do have to stay.
We're not talking about this fucking restaurant. I was using an example of something nobody on listening to the show even cares about. So we're going back to Bomb Tacos. we'll talk about a Minneapolis restaurant tour in a minute.
Okay.
But this space on Carson previously was occupied by Two Ball Brothers Mediterranean and Zydeco Po' Boys before Bomb Tacos. None of them lasted very long. So I don't have high hopes for whatever goes into this space next, if it's a restaurant.
Let's see. There are three restaurants in that block, right?
I can't even think of what else is there.
The veggie place and the, like...
You don't hear much about those.
Yeah.
But they're still open.
That we went to and we were kind of disappointed, but then a couple friends of ours went to it and they suggested we go back.
I don't even remember.
It was the one on the corner.
Carson, 7th and Carson?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the new direction they have taken, but haven't made it back over there.
Yeah, and Eat does really well.
Yeah, there's plenty of restaurants on Carson that are doing quite well. But
Carson Kitchen's doing very well.
For whatever reason, this one space, not so much.
No.
So, farewell, Bomb Tacos. They do have another location in Las Vegas, but it's off-strip, so we'll never go there.
I'm a little bummed, because I was hoping to indulge.
Oh, you told me, I don't have this in the show notes, but you told me that Tacos El Gordo was opening a second strip location or something?
Yeah, but it's like a block away from the existing one.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well.
I don't know if they're going to keep both of them open, or if they're going to move.
It would be weird if they did.
But. Yeah, it was. I pulled it up on Google Maps because I'm like, oh yeah, I want another Tacos El Gordo on the strip.
I mean, they had the whole thing where they closed for a while and then they reopened it, like next door or something. And for some reason, I thought they were going to move. I don't know. I've lost track and we haven't gone there in so long. Mm-hmm.
They're delicious.
Anyway, down by the No Man's Land and North Strip Mall action, Tacos El Gordo is delicious.
Close to Peppermill.
Yeah. All right. Since you're so eager to talk about Minneapolis restaurants, TV host and chef Andrew Zimmern, you've probably seen him on Bizarre Foods. He has a recently opened Chinese restaurant here in the Twin Cities, suburban Minneapolis, called Lucky Cricket. And according to an interview he just did here in the Twin Cities with the Star Tribune, he is currently scouting locations for a Las Vegas location. Now, before this place even opened...
Locations for a Las Vegas location?
What did I say? He's scouting locations for a Las Vegas location.
Yes. Yeah,
you know what I mean. 14 years of this, folks. Thanks for sticking around. Still as incoherent as ever. Anyway, before this place even opened, he had said he wants to go nationwide with it, have many locations.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Las Vegas makes sense as the next one. You know, celebrity chef thing, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. The original location that's only been open for a month or two has not been getting good reviews. Mm. Now, there's been some controversy because he's made some statements. He made a statement in an interview that offended a lot of people or pissed a lot of people off about saving the Midwestern palate from the current Americanized Chinese food that's available in this part of the country. And
thereby insulting all of the Asian restaurants in the Twin Cities.
Some people who have historically been friends with him. So, you know, whether he's been trying to recover from that and talk his way out of it and stuff, there's been the whole torches and pitchfork crowd who are way too upset about it. But regardless of that.
But you said it sounds like he's contrite about it.
He is.
I think he feels. And he feels.
I think he feels bad about having said what he meant to say in a bad way. Anyway, regardless of that, the place has not been getting great reviews. And I get the feeling from reading a lot of those reviews that they're not. Some of them may be because of his statements, but many of them, I think, are people who actually wanted to give the place a shot and were very disappointed. So, you would think maybe he should focus on the one location and getting that right before.
Expanding.
Branching out.
Yeah.
They might be a little too eager to expand, which is not good in the restaurant world.
No.
So time will tell, but don't be surprised if you hear that there's going to be a Lucky Cricket in Las Vegas sometime. I'm guessing at Link. It just seems like that would be the right fit, but who knows?
We saw a Lucky Cockroach at Flamingo once.
Was it lucky?
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it was lucky
at
all.
Made us want to leave.
Yeah. So there you go. Lucky Cricket Las Vegas coming possibly sometime soon. All right, so this is not really a news item, but something I thought I would mention. I've been spending a lot of time digging through things online, as I periodically do, trying to find nuggets of information and what's happening. And I was curious whether or not there had been any activity regarding the Drew, which is the former Fontainebleau building.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that there is still quite a bit happening behind the scenes as they gear up. So I know that there's been some thought that that project might be dead or stalled for a long time. Based on what I'm seeing, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. A lot of permits are still being pulled for different things. And the most recent ones, so when they pull these permits, they have a life of 180 days before they have to start working on whatever it is they're pulling the permits for. A lot of them were renewed or... They refiled them in September to keep them alive. So that goes through like February. But more recently as last week, they were pulling permits for doing some updates in a parking garage where they are going to put their construction offices.
Okay.
So I'm thinking by spring, we should be seeing some action happening there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Are they, so with the 180 days thing, can they just keep pulling permits every time it expires, and how long?
There's a cost to that, though, so it's not like you want to necessarily just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to refile plans and things like that. And they have been. There's a lot of documents that aren't available publicly, or at least online. And there are things that they've been filing plans on. So,
okay.
And you get to think, though, you know, they bought this building. It's not like they're going to be able to just go in there and start working on it right away.
Yeah,
there's got to be a lot of plan development. So it's not that surprising that it's taking some time. I think. You know, people are wringing their hands over it because you always like to see
and don't they
things
have to
happening.
Make sure it's structurally sound as well?
I think they did that.
Okay.
I think they did that before they bought it. I mean, as part of due diligence, I think they did a pretty good job of taking a look at that kind of thing. But certainly they're not going to use the old Fontainebleau plans.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and based on what I'm seeing at least... We should be seeing some action over there sometime this spring, hopefully sooner. But I was happy to see that because I looked on the flip side where you could say, well, yeah, but they're not really doing anything. They're just, you know, going through the motions or filing paperwork or whatever. You have a project like the AllNet Arena next door, which, you know, that every year and a half they move around some dirt and make some announcement. There hasn't been anything filed on that in years. There's nothing indicating that that is going to take any sort of shape anytime in the near future. I don't think it ever will. I think it's one of those projects that's just bullshit.
I forgot that existed.
Well, right. It was announced fucking 8 years ago or something. But
I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the show.
Multiple times.
Do I remember it? No.
Supposedly they have funding lined up, but I don't know. Anyway, we will probably be seeing something happening over at the Drew fairly soon. The guy who bought it, the company that bought it, they have a long history in real estate development. So in a lot of it's in New York. So some very big, very expensive projects. So I have some faith that this company is going to come through and actually do this. But until there are cranes, well, even as Fontainebleau shows, even cranes don't mean anything because that thing shut down. But I think once this one ramps back up, it'll move along pretty quickly. And hopefully we'll be seeing something in the next couple of years as far as another new property.
There's something about the top of that building that fascinates me.
Like, how so?
I don't know. Like, I wonder if it's going to be penthouses or if the top of it is going to be open to like a bar or a restaurant or something where people can...
You know, it's been so long since the Fontainebleau plans, I don't remember what they were going to do up there and whether or not they... I don't know.
Because I think it's a different color glass than the rest of the building and it's got that funky little like half circle or something. I don't know. Huh. I'm not describing it very well, but...
It wouldn't surprise me if there was a bar up there or something or a restaurant or something.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that would be good space for it.
Yeah.
People like heights. They like to observe the strip from heights. There's a bold statement from me. Alrighty, so I think we're pretty much caught up in the news. Should we get to a bunch of phone calls?
Sure.
We have some good stuff from our listeners this week. Let's start off with this guy.
Hey, 500, John from Phoenix here with a much delayed trip report. I was there a few weeks ago for the SEMA show. And Tim, you may be happy to know that my wife happened to notice that I wasn't wearing my badge around my neck, but everyone else was, so... she asked, and I quickly told her that I was afraid I'd run into Tim and be shamed for being a conventioneer schmuck.
Well done.
She didn't understand the importance, but I felt better secure in knowing my status with the cool kids in Vegas remained intact. The company put us up at the Always Meh link during the week, which was just fine. For the weekend, however, I cashed in some of my Hilton points and stayed at the Waldorf Astoria. The room was fantastic, a little smaller than I would have expected from this place. Service, however, was excellent. Everywhere we went around there was first rate. We did try to get down to the pool just to check it out, but coming from Phoenix, it was far too cold for us to be by the pool. I think it was somewhere in the 80s, which was just intolerable. But it was kind of neat that usually when we go to the pools at some of the other properties, we find that we have to hunt for water, and sometimes we can't even get the free water, but they were actually handing it out. Nice touch. Dinner at Rayo's at Caesars, always fantastic. We also did dinner at Giada. That was very good, but no doubt you're paying for the name. But then again, I always say I don't go to Vegas to save money. I'm mostly more of a into the nightlife, sans the clubs, but did a lot of hanging out at Carnival Court, one of my favorites, always a good time. And stopped by for my last drink at the Bond Bar the day before they destroyed it. Being a big replacements fan myself, I'm going to miss that place. I always noticed they had some pretty good and eclectic music in rotation. Speaking of eclectic music, David Perico and the Pop Strings Orchestra at Caesars, Cleopatra's Barge. They've been doing that for quite some time now, and it's really one of my favorite shows. It's a little different for some people, but... they make even things like Bruno Mars sound good, so might be something to check out. Also hung out at the Harris Priano Bar, where one of the nights we made some friends with some people from the UK, which is pretty cool. And that's all I got for now. I need to finish packing as I'm going back this afternoon, so more to come. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thanks for that report. We appreciate it. Some of these calls are like a month old because we haven't had calls on the show in a while, so... But, you know, the reviews are still
timeless.
And I'm happy to... Timely and timeless. I'm happy to get a review of Waldorf Astoria because I've been wondering how things are going with the changeover from Mandarin Oriental. And it sounds like it's a seamless transition, which is a good thing. And in fact, our next caller also is reviewing that particular property.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Chris from Santa Cruz. I am giving you a brief update on the Waldorf Astoria, which was formerly the artist known as Mandarin Oriental. I will be posting a much longer review in the Facebook group, so those people listening to this can look there for my extended comments. But basically, my response is, Waldorf Astoria is still the Mandarin Oriental. All of the staff have been held over from the day of the transition. I've stayed here probably twice a year since it first opened in 9 years ago, and I can tell you that all the staff I recognize, they recognize me. Part of the fun of work is staying in a very nice, but very small hotel. And it's basically the same place. The inside is the same. The staff is the same. The service level appears to be the same. There are minor changes. I will go into that in the Facebook group, but so far, the same. Bye.
Well, that's good. And it's not too surprising to me because both of those names, Mandarin Oriental and Waldorf Astoria, they're very, you know, luxury property, high mm-hmm. service level. And you would think with Waldorf coming in that the smartest thing they could possibly do to maintain that is to keep all the employees who have already built that up. So, yep.
And you've got repeat people who've stayed there
yep.
a couple times a year. So
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So Mandarin Bar is now called Sky Bar, in case you were wondering what the name of that was. I think they might have a new menu, but I've heard the reviews of that, or I've seen a couple of reviews of that that are still very good. So might have to return to that place one of these days. It's been a while since we've been up there for that fantastic view.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Chris. We're going to hear back.
And delicious but expensive beverages.
Yeah, well, that's you know, sometimes you're paying for that mm-hmm. that great view. And.
But it is a nice experience.
It is. Very chill up there.
Yep.
All right. Thanks to Chris. We'll hear more from him in a little while. In the meantime, let's check in with Linda.
Hey, 500, Tim and Michelle, how are you? This
Good.
Is Linda from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I just wanted to call and kind of piggyback on a couple things that were brought up in the past couple podcasts with your trip report and everything. So I was just in Vegas myself, and as far as the Cosmopolitan's new Block 16, I happened to try one of the places that you hadn't, which was Hattie B's Hot Chicken. Hot chicken. Sorry, have to do that. Anything that rhymes with hot pocket, right? It was really good. As far as the chicken goes, honestly, possibly, I know this sounds crazy, but honestly, possibly the best chicken I've ever had in my life. It was, the pieces were huge. I don't know if they were steroid chickens or what. I would even go so far as to say one meal could easily feed two people. Just perfectly cooked, moist and tender. The seasoning was awesome. I didn't get it full level hot. I went like the medium spice, which was good enough for me, but amazing chicken. The sides were just kind of there. So kind of the yin and the yang. I had the mac and cheese and potato salad. And honestly, with the chicken, you really didn't need anything else to eat. So it didn't matter so much to me that the sides were just kind of, you know, humdrum, but I will say, as far as the drinks go, I got iced tea with it, the sweet tea, and for $5, it was like, I'm not even sure it was 12 ounces, just this little glass filled with ice. So, yeah, the food was a great value. I think it was $11 or whatever for the meal. So, with the drink and the tip, it's like a $20 meal, which, yeah, not too bad. So, I will say, go for the chicken. Just don't be surprised if the sides are just kind of there. So, that's Hattie B's. And then you just mentioned the new James Bond 007 slot machines, which I hadn't been to Vegas in a while, so I was excited to see them. Kind of a James Bond nerd. And they are fun. I tried the three that I saw. That was Thunderball, which is a video slot, and then Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever, which are real slots with some video with them. They're all gorgeous machines. Really good graphics, you know, the fun music, everything else. I will say, anecdotally, they all handed me my ass. So I didn't win a thing on any of them at any casino I tried them at, which was a few I tried them at, Palms, Cosmopolitan, Golden Gate. So they're all over the place. So I hope someone out there has better luck than I did. And let's see, it looks like I'm at my 3-minute mark. So that's all I'll say other than, just wanted to say, Auto Splash, I tried them out. I am one of those weirdos that likes to rent a car in Vegas and just drive all over town. And tried them out. I couldn't find anything cheaper than they did. So shout out to Auto Splash. They do save you some cash. So love the show. You guys have a happy holiday. Peace out. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that report. Thank you for supporting our sponsor, of course, as well. We'll be talking more about them next week. I noticed lots of James Bond slot variations, and we didn't get around to playing any of them, but maybe during our next trip we will fire some of those up. And perhaps we'll record it for your entertainment.
Ooh, we could do that.
I know. Oh, that might be. I still have the Gambling with Tim and Michelle I need to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll happen in the next couple of weeks as well. So many things to get caught up on. We have such a busy, busy time here in the 500 world.
Mm-hmm.
Busy 500 studios.
Right.
I'm so glad our dog is asleep.
That was random.
I know. Well, usually when things are busy here, it usually involves him being chaotic.
True.
He hasn't been crazy on the show lately. He's
not
been pretty
on the show.
Chill. No, not on the show. He saves that for real life. All right. Next up.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Lori giving you a call from Sound Bar at Cromwell. Anyway, the bartender, we just got in today and we've been drinking. The bartender said he's never heard of 500 by Midnight.
What?
And his name is Kale. So I'd like all of my fun 500ites to go to Bound Bar
and
tell Kale about 500. Anyway, it's awesome. I totally agreed. Bound Bar is great. Cromwell is great. The new lobby bar at Valley's is awesome. And then Gustav's at Paris, always a treat. Anyway. Check in later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
She sounds like she's having a very good time.
I know. I feel bad for the bartender now if people are going to go pester him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for spreading the 500 love regardless. We have lots of good bartenders in Vegas who hear from our listeners on a regular basis. All righty. Next up.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. Merry Christmas to you guys. This is Donald from New Hampshire, calling from a recent trip. I'll try to get right to the good spot. My friends had burgers at Flippin' Good Burger on East Fremont as we would stay downtown for a couple of days at the El Cortez. They really enjoyed that. We did go off strip to the Golden Tiki, which we had terrible service, but I think it was just one person one day, and I would totally recommend it for a unique experience for anyone that wanted to visit a tiki bar, an old school tiki bar in Las Vegas. We went to the newish opium show at the Cosmopolitan, and I thought it was okay. My friends thought it was a little better, so I'm like so-so on that one, but still a good time. We went to the Wicked Spoon, and we do enjoy it for the selection. Guess that's about it. We stayed 2 days at the Cromwell. I was amazed that the craps men limit at the Cromwell was $15, which I found kind of pricey. Other than that, I guess that's all the new stuff that we did, and had a good time overall, and, you know, can't always wait to go back. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you for that update. We do appreciate it. I thought the Cromwell had a low-limit craps table all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's not all the time. Maybe it's just select hours because they've been trying to do that with various games, have a low limit option. I don't know. All righty. Thank you for those updates. Next up.
Tim, Michelle, Matt from Eden Prairie checking in here. Had a great little morning down at Fremont until we decided to go have a beer at Park on Fremont. And a random busker / passerby decided to grab a guy's cell phone and start running, in which both of the bartenders jumped the bar through the little patio hole and tackled him down in the road. So that was an interesting morning. Went over to Evil Pie. Good pizza, good beers. Other than that, love the show. Love you guys.
Hey, thanks for that. Wait for the bartenders to jump into action.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's like the opposite of the bartender at the previous aforementioned Flamingo Roach incident, who like casually brushed it off the bar and couldn't be bothered with it. These fuckers are like defending their customers.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Yeah, you know, every once in a while we'll get, this is pretty mild. It's a, you know, somebody's trying to steal a cell phone, which isn't great if it happens to you, but every once in a while, there will be something like a shooting or something, or somebody getting beat up or something that gets posted on the Facebook group or makes the news. And
people will ask, is it safe to go to Las Vegas?
You know, anytime there's a lot of people around, you're going to have some criminals.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. just, you know, be aware of your surroundings, stay alert, and do what you can. Keep your cell phone in your pocket rather than on the table if you're right next to the sidewalk, I suppose. But it happens. So that's pretty cool that the bartenders took care of that.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun to see. You know, I'm not necessarily into violence, but if somebody tries to rip me off, I'd love to see somebody pound the hell out of them. All right, let's check in with Chris again.
Tim, Michelle, Chris from Santa Cruz calling. Hey, I have been recommended Maestro's Ocean Club as a restaurant from the Mandarin Oriental, now the Waldorf Astoria, for years, and I never could bring myself to eat at what I think one caller affectionately called it, the wooden ball sack of crystal. But I want to tell you that I finally took their suggestion, ate there, and was shocked at how good the food was, how well executed it was, and just how much fun I had. The drinks were fantastic, and the food was shockingly good. So while people may walk by it and say, huh, I don't want to eat in a ball, Maestro's Ocean Club, shockingly good. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, that place gets a lot of good reviews. I've heard from other people whose opinions I also trust that it's a really good restaurant. So
yeah, there are a couple of people who have it as a must-do every trip. So
Yep. So despite the fact that it looks like a wooden cock and balls.
Delicious food.
Moving along.
Good evening. This is Jeremy from New Hampshire calling about my recent trip. Stayed at Bally's, love location, hotel's decent enough, and it's a short walk to Ellis Island, which is great. A couple of food highlights. Went to Madrano's at Harris. They have a red sauce, which is a little bit more spicy than the traditional red sauce, which I rather enjoyed. And they're really known for their balls. And their balls are pretty good, and they're big balls, if that matters to you. Other highlights, MGM went to Michael Mina's 1842 for the PB Crunch Burger, which is peanut butter, cheddar, bacon jam, chips, and obviously the burger. Burger was very well cooked. All the ingredients were very well treated. I don't know if it necessarily came together as a full dish, but enjoyable, and I'm glad I tried it. Also went downtown, went to the Neon Museum. I've been on the tour a couple times, so nothing really new to report there, but had a chance to see Brilliant. And it's a fabulous show. They do give you, they announce there's a chance to take pictures and everything at the end so you can really focus on the show. I would say if you're doing the combo ticket to not leave too much time. We did a 6 o'clock tour, had a 7:30 Brilliant, so we had about a 40-minute wait time, half an hour, 40 minutes, and only so many laps of the gift shop that you can make and looking at the signs, which was still pretty cool. Just other observations, Xmas at Vegas, always really cool. The outdoor park was done up a lot more this year than I do remember it from last year. Bellagio, always a star. Golden Nugget, I give them a credit for the effort, but they have some creepy-ass elves in their decorations. Other observation, Mirage Tram. I noticed that is still Mirage TI Tram. I noticed that's still broken. I thought I'd seen that it was open, but apparently mistaken. Show highlight, hard-to-beat experience with Wayne Newton. Decided that day to go tickets. We're all the way in the back of the showroom. Had the deal on Groupon. Was waiting for the show to start. Band was playing. Old Vegas Images on front stage. And I was really focused on stage, waiting for him to appear on stage. And I feel a tap on my shoulder, and it's Wayne Newton. He says, "Hey, welcome." Shakes my hand and then starts singing and making his way down the aisle, which I thought was just really cool and tremendous. A very Vegas experience. It's almost as Vegas as being approached at 2:30 a.m. by the prostitute while I was cashing out at Harris. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Merry Christmas, and would love that Siegfried and Roy bit to be played at some point in the show if it hasn't already. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, I've retired that for this year.
Well, not for this year.
For this Christmas season.
Yes.
But thank you for the call. So
thanks for putting both testicular-related calls back to back.
That was unintentional. There might be more. I'm not sure. The Mirage Treasure Island Tram did reopen, and then I saw on, I think Vegas Changes reported, it closed again. There was some faulty part that they needed to reorder that is not going to arrive until February.
Oh.
So after being closed for months and months, it reopens. It was open for a couple weeks, a few weeks, and then closed again for a couple months. So they're having some problems with that old mm-hmm. beast.
Is it like Sigma Derby where there are only so many parts to go around?
Apparently they have to fabricate it themselves. They have a giant
3D printer.
Yeah, a giant 3D printer just for that. All right. Thanks for the reports. We do appreciate that. Let's check in with Joe.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Joe from Los Angeles again. And I wanted to share with you a couple of unique experiences in my last trip there. The first one is I took a tour of the T-Mobile Arena. It was a behind-the-scenes tour, and it was absolutely outstanding. This tour, it was only $25, believe it or not. And they take you around to see the, like, for example, corporate suites, season ticket holder suites. You get to see the private suites that the owner uses, and they walk you through all these places. They also take you, like, upstairs to where the officials are and where the press offices are. You get to go into the control room where they have, like all the video that they show during a game or a performance, and where they do the announcements on the scoreboard and all of that. Really fascinating stuff. But one of the most interesting things about this tour is they take you to the players' locker rooms and, like for the night, and the visiting team's locker rooms, you have free reign to walk through there, take as many pictures as you like. And they also take you to the performers' dressing room. So, like, when they give concerts or other types of events there, you get to see how it is that where they are in relation to the stage, how they walk out. They tell interesting stories about certain performers. I think it was, I want to say Bon Jovi. I may have it wrong, but they talked about how they had to – he hates pink, that it's bad juju, and they had to, like, block all the pink off in the dressing room. It's the T-Mobile Arena, and it's all adorned in pink, and they have to, like, get all that out when he came in. A lot of interesting stuff like that. We also went down to where the ice was. They were preparing for a hockey game. And believe it or not, they got two holding cells down there for people that get drunk, and you sit in this little cell until the police come get you. They show you private entrances for the players and for season ticket holders. You see where they come in. It's just absolutely fascinating. Very highly recommended. I found this on, I think it was called bestofvegas.com, I think, which leads you to vegas.com, and that's where it was. So it was absolutely great. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that review. Bestofvegas.com was a sponsor of ours way back when. I think that was before we even had the theme song.
Yeah.
We never had one for them.
We did not.
All right, so yeah, they're reputable, if you're wondering. That sounds cool. Glad you had a good experience. Glad they got you through so many different areas of the arena. I like those kind of backstage, behind-the-scenes tours. That's kind of neat. What else? Okay. I was just thinking of something, and I forgot what it was now. Something I was going to...
How you want to go on the Vikings tour and be real close to the Yallerhorn?
The Horn of Failure? No, I don't think so.
I think I pronounced that wrong, but you know what I'm talking about.
The Horn of Failure.
The one you hear several times a quarter.
Yeah. All right, so I can't remember what I was thinking, what I had that was so important to say. Damn it. I hate when that happens. Okay, we're going to move on to our final call. Maybe I'll think of it.
Tim and Michelle, this is Brian from Orange County, California. So I'm listening to your last episode. You're talking about, you know, why do people like Cosmo for the hotel, the casino, but maybe not for the video poker and some of those other things. And I think this applies to most properties on the Strip. The properties on the Strip can put a lot more money into decor and aesthetics. And I think we all know they put less money into payouts and the holds are tighter. And that's why video poker is also, Tim, my favorite game. It's what I almost exclusively play, just slots a little bit here and there. And I love playing the slots at Cosmo, but their video poker just doesn't pay like El Cortez or some of the other places downtown or off strip that need to lure people in for other reasons. And so they pay a little more on their video poker and have better pay tables, than you find on the Strip. So I keep going back to Cosmo, and I made sure I played enough there to get up one level on the card, so now I get free rooms. But I don't exclusively play there, and when it comes to video poker, I will catch a lift downtown and play there versus spending all of my video poker dollars at the Cosmo. But I will keep going back to the Cosmo for that light tropical smell, for the aesthetics, for cocktail servers who bring you drinks at the slots that are usually just as good as the premium drinks you get at the bar. You can't get that very many places. So I think that's what has a lot to do with it. Love the show. Love you guys. Cheers.
Don't you just want to hang out in Vegas with Brian after hearing that call? Yeah, I do. I told him, let's go play slots at Cosmo, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely. The pay tables at Cosmo leave a lot to be desired, mm-hmm. as they do on most of the Strip. So, yeah, I'm totally with you in terms of...
Do we play them? Yes.
Yeah, we still play them just because it's our main game. I do play some slots at Cosmo, too, once in a while, but typically not enough to... fill my gambling needs while we are there.
Right.
And they got rid of my Johnny Cash machine.
Yeah.
Boo. That's what I was bummed out during this last trip, because I thoroughly enjoyed the Johnny Cash machine at Cosmo, although I did play it somewhere else. I think I played it at the D. And the D got rid of my Animal House machine that had been treated me so well a couple times. And I played that somewhere too, but to no avail. So... Oh, well, I have a new favorite slot. We'll get to that in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we will.
My gambling with Tim and Michelle. All right, thanks to all the callers. We have some more phone calls to get caught up on. We'll do that in the next couple weeks as well, but we don't want to keep this show going too long. Have you enjoyed our big 14th anniversary spectacular podcast?
Sure, you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Can you believe that? I know I've said this before, but I don't do things for 14 years. It's a long time. It's shocking to me that this podcast is still a thing. And it is, thanks largely in support to you, our wonderful callers and our wonderful listeners, and you're awesome. So let's close out with some more awesome people who support the show with some karma donations in the last week or two, including Morgan, who took a trip on the 28th for a miles run. That whole... like trying to run up your airfare status.
Uh-huh.
I've been reading. I can't. Like,
it's too much to.
But I've been reading some articles because I'm thinking about getting a new credit card and blah, blah, blah. So, and a lot of them are deal with this stuff. And what a complex world that is.
Mm-hmm. Some people, they're
really into it. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
I know. I get it. It's not for me. It's too much. But hey, if I was close, it's a variation on the slot club kind of mentality.
Right. If you were close to hitting another level,
well, this last trip, I'm like, oh, I think I'm pretty close to maintaining my gold status at Cosmo. Let me keep playing, and I still fell short by 1,600 points or something. So I get it. Anyway, Morgan said thanks for everything. Hope you had a wonderful trip, Morgan. Thank you very much. Ed and Lori, a karma donation for a trip that probably is happening now. I'm curious. About this story,
mm-hmm.
starting January 2nd, a trip they accidentally booked. Oh, that old trick.
I accidentally booked a trip to Vegas.
I've never accidentally booked a trip to Vegas, but I did one time, this is many years ago, I think it was when America West was still a thing, and mm-hmm. flying out of the Twin Cities with direct flights. I booked a trip for a day longer than intended by mistake, and I think it had to do with it being a...
Was it the red eye?
I don't know if it was the red eye or if it was a flight that landed after midnight, but for some reason, somehow I fucked up and got the date wrong and ended up an extra night. It was quite an ordeal to have to stay an extra day.
Oh, yeah.
I realized it before we went,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't the end of the world, but...
Oh, no, we have to stay an extra day in Vegas. Whatever shall we do?
But booking an entire accidental trip, that's a... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Nice one, Ed and Laura. You're not fooling me.
Hey, remember when we used to be able to take the red eye?
I can't. You know, could I do that? I probably could deal with it. I know you would never do it again.
It would, yeah. Sleep has become a priority.
Yeah. I might be able to do it, but I'd rather not. Kathleen with a karma donation for a trip coming up here in mid-January. She said she's still booked at both Paris and Bellagio. Decisions. That's good to have choices.
Yeah.
And they're both comped, so.
Nice.
Yep. I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time, whatever you choose. Have a great trip. Inga said happy new year and thanks for all. Karma donation needed for a local trip. Hopefully that went well for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sue with a karma donation heading out on January 18th for a weekend downtown at the Cal. Said she appreciates the time we take to put out a great podcast.
Aww.
I'm not sure if this one was great, but it's a podcast. Thank you for that. Do appreciate it. And finally, Carl from Indy with a karma donation going for CES, staying at Cosmo and looking forward to checking out. He said he's been to Cosmo a bunch of times and that our latest trip report from when we were at Cosmo, like, has him fired up to go back right
awesome.
Away. Like, looking forward to checking different stuff out that he hasn't necessarily had a chance to see before. So awesome. Glad you got something out of that. Glad you have a trip coming up. Have a wonderful time.
Yep.
Thank you to all of our supportive listeners. You guys are wonderful. Anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. Oh, I know this isn't what I thought of necessarily, but I was going to mention, I finally got the podcast registered. So we are available on Spotify.
Ooh.
For anybody who's interested in getting their podcast on Spotify. This is way nerdy stuff, but we host our own files. So sometimes when new services come along that host podcasts, a lot of times they have deals with some of the different services and those things are automatically added. So like Libsyn and Podcast One, some of those networks.
Yeah.
But sometimes our stuff just shows up on those and other times it does not. And this was one that just did not. And I had to go through a little bit of work to get it on there. So that's why it took so long. But if you're looking for a podcast on Spotify to listen to, you can listen to ours. Yay. All right, 500@gmail.com is the Dear Tim and Michelle email address. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line is waiting for you to call. Tell us about your most recent Las Vegas experience. If you have reviews of anything exciting, interesting, you know, nude magicians, either official or otherwise. 702-866-9494 is the place to call. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back next week with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.